So speaking of the Hobbit from our last episode, there's a place in Tennessee. You don't have to go to New Zealand. There's a Hobbiton in Tennessee, and it looks fantastic.
There's a couple. We've found a couple of bed and breakfasts that have hobbit holes.
Oh yeah, I've seen those too, like on Airbnb, but this is like really
The
built
whole
out.
Hobbiton.
Like yeah, it's pretty big, so I want to
Well,
check it out.
I want it. Talk about cozy.
I know.
Welcome to PCMC. I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined with my good friend and your good friend, Miss Janine
Hello.
Gagliardi. Typically, we record together in the same space in the house of Gagliardi,
That's right.
but I'm sick, or I was sick, and
I'm getting over being sick. You know,
yeah,
it's all.
everybody's on the sick spectrum somewhere, getting it over, getting old, you know.
Oh, yeah.
But we're here today to do an episode that was Janine's idea. Janine, this episode is called Actors Who Went For It. What
That's
does that
right.
mean?
Well, I would actually, an alternate title could be No Small Roles, Just Small Actors, right? Like,
That would be its
take.
New Yorker magazine title.
Yeah, that's it. So basically, I got the idea for this episode because Bill and I had been talking about how, like, a certain scene in a movie affected me so much. Or affected us so much. We were so impressed with like this actor's work, but they were like there and then they were gone, right? Like they were only in that one little part, but they were so great in that part that you were like, this was fantastic. And the one that I always think of that inspired this, I sent to you, is from Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, from like one of those vignettes in the
Ah,
beginning. It
yeah.
has nothing to do with anything else in the film. It's only there. And oh my God, it's just so good. It's such a crazy, great performance. It's like, oh man, this
Is that one on
person,
your
what?
list?
It's on my list for sure. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I had a little bit of trouble with it. At one point, I needed you to tell me the difference between actors who went for it and actors who understood the assignment.
Yeah,
What
yeah,
is an
yeah.
actor who understood the assignment?
Frank Langella. You were asking me about Frank Langella as Skeletor or Raul Julia as M. Bison in Street Fighter. You know, they're giving an insane performance in a movie that's otherwise, sort of dull in comparison to what they're doing, right? Like they were given a task and they completely understood it. Or oh God, what the hell's her name? In The Grinch, the one who has the crush on the Grinch. Yes. Mayhuvier is the last name. Martha May.
Martha May,
She
who
understands the assignment completely, right? Like someone's bringing like over the top energy. But those are all like roles, the pretty meaty roles in the movies that they're in. I meant smaller
Okay.
appearances, right? Blips. But you either quote them or you remember them, or like this is a person who, just really left an impact on you despite only being there briefly in the film.
Okay, so my misinterpretation was that, let me see, I have five here,
Okay.
and like a few honorable mentions. Three of them are like real tiny little roles, and two are not. Two are big roles, but they were unknowns at the time.
Okay.
I guess what I was thinking about was Lin-Manuel Miranda talking about getting your shot.
Oh, I'm not gonna throw away my shot.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I thought about, like, these were nobodies that were like, "Do you want to do this thing?" And they were like, "Yeah, I'm gonna do it really fucking hard." And then the whole world was like, "Wow, who
Who
is
was
this
that?
nobody who fucking?" And I wrote down some of their like credits before their big thing.
Okay.
And you're like, "Wow, you went from that to this." So hopefully this is a cohesive list. But I do think it's a good idea. I'd love for you to start.
Okay, sure. So one of the ones that inspired this as well is from the film, the Harry Potter film, Goblet of Fire. Oh, and you also wanted us to talk about like who is this actor? Like, what is their name? Like, so the character is Amos Diggory, and he is Cedric Diggory's dad. So this is Robert Pattinson's character. It's his dad in the film. And he's played by an actor called Jeff Rawle. And Jeff Rawle, I looked into him. He's an actor. He does a lot of British series and stuff. He's a working actor. I think he had his own series that lasted a season or two back in the day. And it seems like he does mostly television, like BBC series. But he's around. He's in the British stable of actors that like we pull from, right? And he's got this little role as Amos Diggory. You meet him at the beginning of the film when they're all going to the Quidditch World Cup, and
Yeah.
you can tell that he's like very proud of his son, seems like a good dad, and that's pretty much it. And then they compete in the Goblet of Fire and they go all the trials, and they're at the last one where they have to go into the maze, and there's like the big stadium filled with onlookers, and he's there, he's like,
Yeah.
cheering for his son. And then, of course, the unthinkable happens. Voldemort
Yeah.
shows up and his son is killed. And in the chaos of that scene, he stands out. He
Yeah.
does the most heart-wrenching cry.
Yeah.
And everything comes to a standstill. And like he's in a scene with Alan Rickman, Michael Gambon,
Right. And he's not an established character that you would care that much about if
No, right? Like we
you.
don't really know much about him except that he loves his son. That's nice.
Yeah.
And he pulls off this scene. It's so brief, but he's screaming like my boy. My boy, but it's just the intensity and the sadness that he's
Yeah.
conveying that it always floors me every time. I'm like, God, he killed this. Like he really went for it and like nailed it, completely nailed it. Whereas like in a scene full of stars, he's shining the brightest. Like he is doing the most and he's with what little he's given. And I mean, I thought I was so impressed by it. It moves me every time. Like the first time I saw it, I was in tears. I was just like, oh
Yeah.
my God, his son, his real son died. He sells it. He really sells it.
Yeah, that is a great performance too.
It's a great performance. It's very brief, but he does such a great
You can tell
job.
by the editing that he did such a good job. They allow it to
Yeah, they really give it
fully
the
blossom. Yeah.
space. Yeah,
Yeah.
you're right. That's such a good
They held
point.
space for it.
They did hold space for it. That's
Yeah.
true.
Okay. So I want to talk to you about Anne Lambton.
And Labton. Okay.
Lambton.
Oh, Lambton.
Yeah.
Okay.
She played Woman in Black in 1990's The Witches.
Yes.
So this
Yes.
is, I guess it's, I forget where in the film it is. And we did a whole episode on this, by the way. Look up on our feed. So The Witches, the adaptation of the Roald Dahl book, which is very scary and funny and great. He's in a tree, right? The little boy's in a tree
He's in
and
a tree, yeah.
he offers him chocolate. It's such a pedophile scene. It's the poster for Stranger Danger. And
It's
she's,
probably the scariest scene in the movie.
yeah, and she looks elegant and wears like these black gloves that's like, but like it's the middle of the countryside, so it's like, why would she be
Why
wearing
is
something
she
like
there in
that?
heels and like fancy outfit? Yeah.
And she, I think, doesn't she say to him something like, when the grandmother calls his name
Oh,
and she's like,
shit. It's so scary. She goes,
yeah.
she can't hear you.
Yeah.
When he goes, Grandma,
Yeah.
Grandma.
She can't hear you. And then she's got a snake.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so fucking scary.
It's nothing scarier to a kid.
Yeah. And you made the joke when we did the episode that she looks like Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
I do see it, yes.
And it's such an amazing performance. And she had a crazy life. She was discovered by Andy Warhol's agent. And
Really?
she became, I swear to God, she was Andy Warhol's bodyguard. And she did not do a good job because she was with him until he was shot.
Oh
Oh no,
my
he didn't die
God.
of being shot though. But she was with him until he died. So he died in a, during a surgery. She's still working and does a lot of TV stuff.
Wow. Wait, what were her qualifications for being a bodyguard?
She was an attractive looking weirdo, and Andy
Great.
Warhol just liked people like that around.
I love that. I'm just gonna
Yeah.
hire just a cool weirdo to be my
Yeah.
bodyguard.
Yeah. Incredible.
Oh
Incredible.
my God. Yeah, no, that's a great pick because it's true. She's extremely memorable and she just does such a great job. She does what she was there to do, which is
Yeah.
scare the shit out of you as a kid.
Yeah. No,
And
it's a beautiful scene. It's such danger. It brings into,
yeah.
I think that's what makes Roald Dahl good is, even though there's kid stories, like there's real danger.
Yeah. I mean, you can use it as a scene to teach your children about stranger danger. Like, look, she's trying to entice him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Look, she's offering him gifts.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Look, now she's starting to threaten him. Like, it's like the textbook of how a stranger will try to capture your child.
Yeah. Woman in black.
That's right.
What else do you have? I only have five. What do you have? Like a 900?
I could do five. I have a lot of
Nine.
honorable mentions.
Sure.
Okay. So my next one is the one that inspired it all. It's an actress named Gloria Menon, and she plays Mrs. Curtis in Willy Wonka and the Chocolate
So
Factory.
good.
And
By
you
the
may
way, a
know that
scene I always forget exists, but then when I watch it, I'm like, oh yeah, this scene.
the scene is so funny. It's so great. It could be lifted and be like from a procedural, right? Like
Yeah,
it.
it's its own little movie.
Yeah. And I was reading a little bit about the scene because I feel like every so often it shows up in somebody like on TikTok or something, and people are like, this scene went so hard, it was so great. And so at the beginning of Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, like as Wonka fever takes over the globe, you have a series of like unrelated vignettes that have to do with the Wonka bars, right? And so it opens on oh God, I don't remember his name, but this like sort of hard-boiled like detective actor, right? Who's got this
Yeah.
great deep gravelly voice, and he's like, we don't know what the kidnappers want yet. You know, they haven't made a ransom request. And the wife, Mrs. Curtis, is absolutely stricken. She's sort of reaching hysterics, where she's like, I don't give them anything they want. I just want to have a Harold back. So dramatic, like just this great voice. And they get up, they tap the phone, the kidnappers call, they get off the phone. She's like, I give them anything, anything, you know, she's screaming. And like, they want your case of Wonka bars. And she goes silent. And her face falls, and he's like, Mrs. Curtis, it's your husband's life for your case of Wonka bars. And she just delivers the punchline so great. She's like, how long will they give me to think it over?
So
Like, it's so
good.
funny. In reading about it, one of the critics pointed out, like, despite feeling unrelated, it has the dark humor that Roald Dahl loves. And Roald Dahl also wrote helped write the movie and apparently loved it. Like, he actually really liked this adaptation.
Our second Roald Dahl lady on this list.
That's right. So loved it because it also illustrates the childishness and the greed that he highlights
Yeah.
throughout Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So but yeah, she sold it. She was completely amazing. And apparently she was in acting
And they play it so dead serious.
dead
That's
serious,
what makes
right?
it work.
There's no smirking at all. You know, it is totally, totally serious. You believe her, and you
Yeah.
believe the scene.
The
And it's not
cop's
funny until
indignant.
it's a
Yeah.
Wonka
Yeah.
bar.
And the cop's reaction is so funny.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Like, what do you mean? Are you crazy? And she's really got to consider it.
Yeah. Good
Despite
point.
obviously just moments before insisting that nothing could come between her and her husband. Yeah, so apparently she was an acting instructor. She was a drama teacher.
That's great.
And she was in a lot of things. She has a pretty long IMDb list among these people.
Yeah.
And but more just like smaller roles. But this is her, I would say, the best she ever did. This is where she's shown the brightest. That is
Beautiful.
so great.
That is a great scene. Yeah.
Mrs. Curtis. I wish, well, you have an Instagram. I feel like we should link like the
Sure.
scenes or like a little clip and give you more work to do when you feel sick.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
That's great. I think you'll like my next one. I
Okay.
felt happy. I feel like my next one is the one that most fits the theme, and then you're going to be
Okay.
disappointed with my others. All right. So this one I think is perfect example of what you're talking about. This is an actress, a woman named Caroline Blakiston.
Okay.
She came into our lives, but for a few moments, with an angelic with an angelic poise as Mon Mothma in Return of the Jedi.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Her delivery and poise and look was so enchanting that it immediately led to the character being used in novels and comics and being spun off. And now Andor is a whole show where she's one of the main characters.
Me, yeah,
All I think
absolutely.
based on Which is a nothing role. She plays the role that you've seen in other Star Wars movies, which is this is the ranking person in the rebellion that's going to ex do the briefing of the plan.
Yeah.
This is before this is after the Jabba sequence. This is before they're going to go to the moon of Endor and break and turn off the shield so they can destroy the second Death Star. She's just there explaining it, but she's in this elegant, like, white dress, and she speaks with this great poise. You're just immediately like, who is this person?
Yeah.
Why have I not seen her before? And I think her performance is so strong. She's become such a big part of Star Wars. Like, in the world of Star Wars, like, after the Emperor dies, she becomes the Chancellor of the Galaxy. So she's the leader
Okay.
of, and you see a little bit of that in the Ahsoka show.
Oh, okay.
Because that actress is also in
Oh,
the
is it Genevieve O'Reilly?
There's a new
Okay,
actress who
okay.
plays her, who played her in a deleted scene in episode three and now plays her in Andor and Ahsoka.
Yeah.
But this woman, Caroline Blakeston, she mostly works in the UK, TV and movies from the 60s. She's still acting today. She still does little stuff, but to us, she's Mon Mothma.
Well, I completely agree. I love this choice because I think with all of these things, like the key to somebody who like really hit it out of the park and was given very little to do, it's like they leave you wanting more. Like, I want more from this person.
And so much so that other creators and writers gave the character more.
Right.
They had to expand her into somebody who's now an important character in the whole story.
Yeah. She's like Boba Fett in that way, where you saw her for
Yes.
an instant, right? And then it launched a thousand imaginations. Like, who is
Right.
this person? What's her story? When I was a kid, I thought it was Julie Andrews.
Yeah. No, she has that gravitas.
She does. She has that hair. I feel like she had Julie
Yes.
Andrews' hair. And then, yeah, that poise, that
She shows great
serenity,
empathy. She talks about
class.
the Bothans who died. So
That's right.
there's great empathy in what she's doing. You
Yeah.
get the idea that she doesn't seem like a military person. She seems like a political person. So,
Or royalty, yeah.
or royalty like Leia.
Yeah.
So you're kind of like, who is this?
I think of like the Family Guy Star Wars special where Lois as Leia sees the only other woman in Star Wars and is like, I don't like her.
Yeah, I mean, and what is she in it for? Less than 5 minutes, maybe? It's crazy. So what else do
Well,
you got?
I also have a Star Wars pick, but I'm going to save mine. That's right. Okay. So this next person has exactly one acting credit. Just one. It's the only time I've ever seen that. Just anywhere on IMDb. Just one acting credit.
One at all ever.
One at all ever. And she appears at conventions and signs things as this character.
That's incredible.
Her name is Patty Johnston. Johnston, excuse me, Patty Johnston, and she
Okay.
plays the head elf in A Christmas Story.
Oh,
And
yes. Oh my God. Yes.
she got the role. They had like a casting call, I guess, and she was really kind of
Yeah.
Tootie to begin with, attitudey.
Okay.
And she was supposed to be a teenager, but she was already like in her, like, I think she was like 30.
Yeah.
And she came and she was like, I was an elf. I was an elf in a mall. Like, you
That's
got to
incredible.
hire me. And they were like, okay, we like it. It seems like she sassed her way into the role. So this is,
The way she uses her hat,
yes,
the hat work.
the hat work that she's doing is incredible.
Yeah, and it fits with an overall vibe that goes along with the teacher of like grown-ups are kind of scary. I think it's better that she seems older because the world is scary and Santa's scary too. Like the idea of like, and your dad's kind of scary too. Like every mom is scary.
Yeah. So she's like pulling the kids one by one to see Santa, and then Ralphie's up there. He's like he's stuck. He doesn't know what to say. And she yells at him. She's like, there's a lot of people in the store, kids, so get going. And as she's like
Yeah,
shaking
with the
her head
hat.
around,
Yeah.
she's like punctuating
Yeah.
her line
So
with this
good.
jingle bell at the end of her hat. It's incredible delivery. She never acted before. She never acted after, and
How did
she
they find
absolutely killed
it?
it.
Was just an open audition?
I guess, yeah. It seemed local to wherever they were filming because she just came, like
That's incredible.
she showed up. And she's living the best head elf life currently,
Yeah, that is
which I think
incredible.
is so funny.
I like that she does fucking. Does she wear the hat at conventions? Probably, right?
like a little elf hat. I've seen pictures of her at the convention. She seems like she's just dressed like in a Christmas Story sweater or whatever.
Ooh.
But yeah, she did great. She did great. And
Incredible.
I feel like people, I mentioned her to you and you were like, yeah, absolutely. I know
Yeah,
exactly who
oh, absolutely.
that is. And she did a wonderful job, Patty Johnson.
You know, people find it sad when people do things like that. I think it's lovely.
I
I
didn't
don't,
blame him, yeah.
I should have said this before, but me and Jen met Mike TV and
Oh, really?
Veruca at the Alamo in Staten Island. They were presenting the movie,
Oh,
and they were like talking to people after and taking pictures. And they were very cute. They had nice stories. They had a little bit together because I asked them, like, I was like, what do you think of the Tim Burton version? And they both were like, Tim Burton, I don't know what you're talking about.
no
Yeah, and it's like, yeah, of course, like we so valorize fame in this country. So the
way.
idea of like being famous and not seems sad to us. But
Yeah.
it's like, imagine you're like just in a good movie and you get to, I
Yeah.
was in that movie. That's awesome.
Like, why not?
That's a very good one. That's a
That's
very
a
good
fun one.
one. Okay, so this is one. This one's really breaking the rules.
Yeah.
Because this is, remember in my head, I'm going for this idea of like, it's a shot, it's a chance.
Okay.
I'm giving you a shot.
Okay.
This is a second shot. This is, you had it, you lost it all, and now you're getting a second shot.
Okay.
I am, of course, talking about Paul Rubens in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Oh, okay, sure.
As Amlyn, the vampire assistant of
Oh.
the main vampire. So, Paul Rubens was a part of the Groundlings. In 1978, he created the groundbreaking character, Pee Wee Herman, which had a stage show and many talk show appearances. In 1984, he made Pee Wee's Big Adventure, the movie. From 1986 to 1990, he did Pee-wee's Playhouse on TV. He won Emmys and Peabodys. Then in 1991, he was arrested for indecent exposure while jerking off in a porno theater, which, kids, ask your grandparents. There used to be porno theaters where
Yikes.
they would play them like movie theaters. And guess what? People would jerk off or do drugs, sell drugs, fall asleep. You know, these were not great places. So it's not, so I think people got the wrong idea that he was like watching fucking Home Alone and jerking off. He was watching a porno movie and jerking off. And they just really wanted to bust him. They were like, oh, this is a TV star. This is a kid's TV star. So that was this huge scandal and it kind of killed his career. But
Yeah.
then the next year in 1992, he has a small little cameo role as Penguin's father in Batman Returns.
That's right.
And then later on that same year, he is this vampire in Buffy. And he doesn't look anything like Pee-wee. He's got long black hair, a goatee, like pale vampire face, long nails, a leather jacket. He's doing like a scary voice, although he's a comedic character. I saw this in the theater as a kid. I love the Buffy movie, even though it's nothing like the show. And my dad was like, "Do you know who that is?" And I
Yeah.
was like, "No." And he was like, "That's Pee-wee." I was like, "Get the fuck out of here." I couldn't believe it. And it was such a perfect second chance for him because it was a comedic role. It was a small role. He wasn't the focus, but he could do a really good job. He steals the scenes that he's in.
Yeah.
It was really great because it showed the world I'm actually an actor because it's
Right.
so different from Pee-wee. And then he has that great, famous, I think, improvised thing where he dies for super long.
That's
She
right.
stakes him with a ruler.
It's still going in the credits.
And he's like, and it's just ridiculous. He also has the great line where he's trying to kill Luke Perry's character, and he's on Luke Perry's van, and he drives into a tree, and he loses his arm. And he's like, I just got this jacket. Although this is my favorite jacket. Kill him a lot. So Paul Rubens, the great Paul Rubens in Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
All right. He really made a meal out of the role,
Yes, he did.
despite not having a lot of screen time. No, I think that counts. I do. I don't think it has to be like a complete unknown, right?
Yeah.
I have in my what is it? The honor. I can't think of honorable mentions today. I can't conjure the term honorable mention. In my honorable mentions, I have like some pretty well-known actors that just did a really good job, but like a tiny, tiny little role. It's not quite a cameo, right? Because it's not.
Right.
So, you know, it counts. It definitely counts.
This almost is like there's almost anonymity in it that's working for it.
Yeah, I love that. I love when a bigger star shows up in a small role and you're like, what are they doing here? What are they doing? It's sort of like when Neil Patrick Harris showed up in the original Harold and Kumar, and it was a surprise to most people because we hadn't seen him in a while.
That really led to everything.
That,
Yeah.
yeah, it did.
That led to How I Met Your Mother. That was the beginning of a whole second act for him. Now he owns the Magic Castle.
Does he own it?
Yeah. So
Wow. What a dream come true for him.
if you're listening, we would love
Oh,
invites.
we would love it. We would absolutely love it.
We
And
know it's invite
PH.
only. We would watch. We would dress up, whatever you want.
Oh, we're very discreet. We wouldn't tell a soul what we
We
saw
don't have to be
there.
allowed in every room. Just let us in a little, some of the rooms. Thank you.
What a dream come true for him, though. He's a big magic guy.
Yeah.
Okay, my next one is Siobhan Fallon Hogan.
That sounds familiar.
She's in a lot of things,
Okay.
and she does a lot with everything that she's been given.
Is she related to me and
Yes,
Bill?
she's related to you and Bill.
Okay.
That's where you know her from. No, she's just she's got a real Irish face, you know.
Okay, sure.
She plays the bus driver famously in Forrest Gump.
Okay.
And but my pick for her is actually I've had to find her name because I don't think it's said in the movie, but her name is Beatrice, and she's in Men in Black, and she's Vincent D'Onofrio's wife.
Yes.
After
Absolutely.
so he seems like he's kind of a domestic abuser. Not a nice guy. He's a farmer, and he goes out to check out what the this crash in his front yard is, and of course it's an alien, and he immediately gets like killed by this alien who then is wearing his body as a suit. And he comes back to the
Incredible.
house and requests sugar and water.
Yeah.
And she just is like pitch perfect through the whole scene. Like
He's great.
she's stunned.
What's
She's
his
like
name? Edgar?
Edgar. It's like an Edgar suit. And she's doing like this funny, like she's doing this voice for the whole scene. It's just like it wasn't like Edgar. It's like someone was wearing Edgar. It's like an Edgar suit.
Yeah.
When
So
she gets
good.
interviewed by them, and she's getting him more and more sugar and water, and then she's like, "Something's wrong with your face, Edgar." And he like does it's like the effect of like of him pulling back his face, like, "Oh, is this better?" And then she faints. But then during the subsequent interview scene, she's great too. The Edgar suit lines, and she just has this great where she's like underselling it. Like she faints, but she's not like screaming. She's just like slack jaw stunned throughout it all.
Well, that movie's directed by Barry Sonnenfeld, and I think he's really good with that. Like, think about all the
Okay.
weirdos in like the Addams Family movies.
Yeah. I mean, that party scene is chock full.
And everyone in the camp in the second one. Like he likes interesting people.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a very good one.
She's great. And in her other role, she's great too. Like she's always bringing her A game.
What's she done recently? One wonders.
Oh, she's in stuff. I was
What's her
looking
name?
up Siobhan Fallon Hogan.
I can't spell Siobhan.
Siobhan is spelled Siobhan. So it's Siobhan.
The most
And
ridiculous name ever. We've all agreed that, right?
we all, yeah, totally. 100%. She's in a lot of things, but
Let's see.
her most recent credit. What's
Was
she up to?
in a short. I think it's interesting when you see these people do shorts.
Yeah,
The
Clifford the Big
Zombie
Red Dog.
Wedding from
Oh, yeah.
2023.
Oh, she was on an episode of What We Do in the Shadows.
So it was Paul Rubens as his character from God, that last season was so bad.
I know, I
It
hated it.
really will go down in history as one of the biggest. Like, I need to watch a video essay on how that happened. Did they fire all the writers?
I don't know. I like the last episode. I thought it kind of
It was okay.
it worked for me.
It was okay with I like the idea that there were other documentaries and shit.
Yeah.
But the season itself was what a fucking bummer.
16 episodes. Oh, she was on Wayward Pines, and she seems to have been a main character.
It's interesting you see these people and it's like one episode of this, one episode of that, and it's like
Yeah,
working
yeah.
actors.
I mean, any of these people could have been in our character actors. Yeah, she's great. But yeah, she did so much with that role.
She was in Baby Mama.
Oh,
She's
okay.
in Funny Games. She's in
Funny
an episode of
Games.
30 Rock.
Yes, she plays one of Jack Donaghy's sisters.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. Yeah, that's a really good one.
She was great in Men in Black. Fantastic.
Okay, so I have one.
And
This
then
is.
we're gonna do my honorables, and then I'll do my last one.
Wait, what am I up to? No, I have two more, don't
Oh,
I?
you did two. Okay.
I have, yeah. Wait, I've done three, right? No, I've done two. No, I've done three.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have two more.
Okay.
Hold on. Oops, I'm sorry. So this is somebody that went on to be a big star.
Okay.
This is my second vampire on the list. This is Kirsten Dunst as Claudia in Interview with a Vampire.
Oh, okay.
This is also maybe on a list of best child performances ever
Oh, yeah.
in things. This is such a complicated character because the character is a child, but then becomes a vampire, then lives for centuries and becomes just bored of being in a child's body. But it's played by a real little girl
Yeah.
who fucking kills it.
Does such a great job.
And, just the idea of a baby vampire is wrong. It's just inherently an incorrect thing. She's just amazing in it. It's such great casting. And she really, like, before that, she did like little things.
Well, yeah, 'cause she's so young.
Yeah, she was a child. Let me see. She was like, when did she do? She was at New York Stories. IMDb says Kiki's Delivery Service, but I think they're counting the original one. She probably did her
Yeah, she did the
voiceover
dub
after.
after. Yeah.
She plays a kid in Bonfire of the Vanities. One episode of Star Trek. But after, well, actually, not even after, the same year she plays young Amy March
In Little
in
Women.
Little Women, which is another great role. And then the year after that is Jumanji, and then she's off to the races.
Yeah.
She's great. She's fantastic.
She's so great in that role. I love her. She completely steals the show. I think Tom Cruise does an amazing job with Lestat, but I feel like he can't hold a candle to her in any of the scenes. Like
No.
she's taken it.
Sometimes kids are, whenever you see a really good kid performance, you kind of feel like this must be just id because they don't know anything. You know what I mean? Like they
Right.
can't pull from anything. They just must be do like just embodying it in some way that seems impossible.
I wonder if there's like the deft hand of the director there,
I'm
right?
sure.
Or like the script supervisor or whatever, like making sure that they understand like what the line is supposed to how the line is supposed to be read and like really
Or
conveying that to a kid, you
maybe even a
know?
parent. Like
Maybe,
I
yeah.
know, like Beasts of the Southern Wild. It was like the protagonist is like a 5-year-old kid.
She was so
Like,
great in that.
yeah, but it's because her mother's there constantly off screen, like talking her through it, which is what made it work. That could be that too. Like, or you hear about like Linda Blair in The Exorcist. Like she says, like I didn't really get any of what I was doing.
Yeah.
My parent and the director were there just going like, now you're doing this, now you're doing that, and now you're scared, and now you're this.
Yeah. Yeah. She so sells that she's 150 years
Which
old or
is
however.
nuts.
Which is crazy. Like, she's so angry and tortured and just like frustrated with her body that she is still a child. Like, she so wants to be a woman. And she, it's not like Peter Pan, right? Like, she has wisdom. She is gaining a
Right,
knowledge. Like,
right.
she, her mind is mature, but her body is not.
Yeah.
And her mind can, like, her body can never match what she feels inside. So yeah, but there's so much of that. She conveys that tension, which is
Yeah,
crazy.
right. Like, how is that even possible that
Right,
she
like how is she
did that?
succeeding?
Right. It's so good. I mean, I almost want to say it's her best performance. But I think she's good.
It's
She's
up
good.
there. I like
Yeah.
her very much, and I like her, roles as an adult. Like, I love Marie Antoinette, and I think
Right.
she's great in Eternal Sunshine. I haven't seen her seasons of Fargo, but apparently she's very good. But yeah, like she kills it in that role.
She's fantastic. Yeah. So
And
what
she said, like, when she was a kid, Anne Rice invited her to a Halloween party afterwards, and people were like, she said it was extremely surreal, and like it was the strangest thing that had ever happened to her as a kid, because people were throwing flaming roses at her,
What?
like at her feet, to like celebrate like this
When
vampire.
you go to an Anne Rice party,
I was like, oh
what are
my
you
God,
expecting?
leave this little kid alone.
She's perfect. It's so good. It's such good casting.
I know, she's great, and she looks like a little doll, so
I
she's
know she's a beautiful, she looks like a porcelain doll.
yeah, and they
So
really
it's,
make her up to look like a doll, like the curls and the, and she says that too. She's like, you treat me like your doll. Like, oh,
Yeah.
she's so
So
great.
good. It's
She's
so fucking
great.
good. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. All right. I'm gonna do some honorables now. I have
Sure.
four. So one that I mentioned to you was Chris Hemsworth. Ever heard of him? In Star Trek, in the first Star Trek film.
Recent episode of PCMC.
That's right. And so I think he was already auditioning for Thor, but he wasn't in anything big in the United States at the time.
No, yeah.
I think he had done like a series in Australia, but he blew up almost immediately after that
Yeah,
movie came out.
it's an amazing, it's a great performance.
It's so brief. You see him for like 5 minutes at the
Yeah.
beginning. He puts in an excellent performance. You are moved by his death, even though you've never seen this person before, right? And
Yeah.
you've known him briefly. He's incredibly handsome.
Right.
And in the subsequent scenes where his son, Kirk, is rebelling against his stepfather or his mom's boyfriend or whatever, you're totally on his side. You're like, yeah, of course no one can hold a candle to your dad. Your dad was the best in the whole
Yeah.
world.
He went down with the ship to give you a
Yeah.
chance to live.
He so handsomely saved everyone.
He wakes up and handsomely brushes his
He
teeth.
handsomely, goes to the bathroom.
Yeah.
He's just so handsome. But yeah,
Yeah.
so he I thought he did a great job, and it was that thing of like when he came on screen, and it was more than just like a brief, like, oh, this guy's gonna drive the ship, and it's like, oh, he's a hot guy. It's like, oh no, he's acting now. Okay, oh, this is good. I turned to Bill, and I'm like, who was that?
Yeah.
Who is that person?
Yeah.
He's great. He should do more. I would watch a whole movie of him.
Right.
And
Yeah.
I kept my word. So I
Yeah.
thought he was terrific. And so that was a small role that he did a lot with. Another person is a friend of the pod, very good friend of the pod, David Desmalchian in The Dark Knight.
Yeah.
I don't even, does he even have a line? He was so, I'm not gonna say magnetic, but he caught and kept your attention
Yeah.
for however long he was on screen. Like, he's got those haunted eyes. He's conveying a lot of emotion. He's one of like the Joker's crew who's obviously like
Yes.
mentally unwell.
Right. You're right. He's straight out of Arkham.
And he's selling it. He does such a great job with it. It didn't surprise me to see him in other things once that movie was over. Like, when he showed up in something else, I was like, oh, it's the guy from Dark Knight. Like,
Yeah.
he did such a great job. And now he's finally like a lead in a big movie, or a bigger, movie for him.
You see Late Night with the Devil?
No, but I really want to. It looks cool.
I saw it twice. The first time I didn't love it. I liked it, but I didn't love it.
Okay.
Although I think if I had seen it at like 15, it would be my favorite movie ever. But then I saw it again and I was like, you know what? This movie's better than I thought it was. It's
Yeah.
absolutely worth watching.
Yeah. How is he in it? Is he
He's
good?
great.
He's great. Yeah, I like him. I like him a lot. But that was the first time he was like on my radar, and I'm like, this guy's doing some good stuff in a very,
Yeah.
very, very small part. Like, he's really killing it.
I think he steals the show in Suicide Squad.
I agree. I remember
Yeah.
when we were talking about his comic book series, which I'm still reading. Like once the, I subscribe to the series, so whenever there's new issues, I get them. But I remember when we were first talking about it, I hadn't seen it yet. But yes, Polka Dot Man.
Yeah.
And he's great. He's so good. You know, he's doing his thing.
Yeah.
He sort of has a thing that he does, which is sort of like weird, haunted, disturbed characters. So I like that he's doing like a late night talk show host who's
Yeah.
kind of
And
slick.
he's big in that fandom. Like there's a lot of Shudder documentaries. And he's one of the talking heads that's always in those.
Oh, okay.
So
Yeah,
like
I mean, his comic is about horror, so it
yeah,
seems
he's
like he's,
big.
he's a horror
Yeah.
fan.
I think he hosted the Fangoria Awards this year.
Oh,
He's big in the
cool.
world of horror.
That is cool.
Any other honorable mentions?
Yes, I have two more. Benicio del Toro in The Usual Suspects.
Yeah, sure, absolutely.
I feel like it was the first time he was really on anybody's radar. And then of course he became a big star afterwards.
What
And
about Kevin Spacey in that movie? How, where's he?
where is he in the grand scheme of acting and
He was
doing
great.
things?
I didn't like his acting as much as I liked his life choices, but
Are
I support him.
you your team Spacey? Oh God.
That was a funny joke at the SNL 50. Did you, when he was like Spacey, no one would high five him.
My God. He was in Glengarry Glen Ross before he was in The Usual Suspect, so he had a pretty big role in that.
But that's how he got his like
He got an Academy Award though for Usual
did
Suspects.
he really? I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he did. Best Supporting
Wow.
Actor. Yeah.
He's
And it was
great.
the same year he did Seven. So that was a big year for him.
Oh yeah. He's
Yeah.
great. He's great in The Last Jedi. Come at me.
I
I'm talking about fucking the person you
was talking about
picked.
Kevin Spacey. We're going back to Benicio del Toro. Okay, Benicio del Toro did not earn a Best Supporting Actor in Academy Award.
Oh, I
Kevin
was gonna
Spacey
say,
did.
for the mumbling character, good for him.
No, although he did win an Academy Award later on, I
You mean
think
the
for
bit was that he's
Traffic.
a fucking terrible person? We don't support
No, I was like, oh, okay, you're asking me about Kevin Spacey. Let me go into his filmography.
him.
All
I
right,
know where he
so
is. He's making videos coming out against Guy Pearce.
fucking weird.
Basically
Such a
saying you asked for it
weirdo.
or whatever. I don't know what his defense is.
His defense is always that he's gay. And it's like, what, a lot of people are
Fine.
gay. Not everyone is a criminal, you psycho. Okay. No, he Benicio del Toro has won an Academy Award for, I believe, Traffic. Hold on, let's see.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. It's giving me the list of awards that he's gotten, but not. Oh no, he actually won an Independent Spirit Award for Usual Suspects.
Okay.
And he won an Academy Award for Traffic.
The second best Wolfman.
Oh,
That's nothing to sneeze at.
interesting. Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas.
Oh, right. He's great in that.
He was great. he went viral a couple years back for his performance in Escape at Dannemora. It's like it was the real life escape from this Dannemora prison that occurred a few like I want to say like 10 years ago or something. Ben Stiller directed it, but it's not funny. And he just has this absolutely crazy performance where he talks like a scary monster through the whole movie.
He's another one like we were talking about in the last episode, Robert Pattinson, who usually will pick a voice and then make choices after that.
Well, that was in The Usual Suspects, right? So he plays Fred
Mumbles.
Fenster. He
Yeah.
mumbles the entire film. He shaved his eyebrows off for the role, or no, he shaved
Incredible.
his hairline to make it look like he had a receding hairline.
Incredible.
He was just making all the choices, and he was so funny. He's hysterically funny in it. And everyone was like, "Who the hell is this guy? Where did this person come from?"
Yeah.
And that's, that's what you want with these things, like.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it launched him. I think he was in a romantic comedy with Alicia Silverstone like the next year or something.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a very good
Yeah.
one.
So he did great. And then finally, for my honorable mentions, I would like to, I don't even know this person's name. Apparently, they were a real life handsome cab driver in Central Park. And it's the guy who when Lewis Tully, played by
Rick
Rick
Moranis.
Moranis in Ghostbusters, is possessed
Yeah.
by Vince Clortho, and he's talking to the horse, and he's
Yeah.
like, "Hey, buddy, you want to make a deal or a ride? You talk to me." And then
Yeah.
he growls at him, and he goes, "What an asshole!"
This guy was almost on my list.
Really? Oh my
Yeah.
God, he's
Him
great.
and the blonde at Lewis's party.
Oh yeah, she's Loretta.
Yeah. Who's like,
Well,
listen,
her
it's
name's not Loretta
okay.
in the movie. She's Loretta in Cheers, but I always remember
Oh,
her as
okay.
Loretta. Yeah.
Yeah.
So she's, yeah, I love her. But yes, I love that guy. I could not find his credit. I don't know what his name is, but everything I read said he was a real life hansom cab driver and that he drove for many years and possibly is still doing it today, but I doubt that because he would be 100.
The what an asshole line is such a big
What an
laugh too.
asshole. Yeah, it's such a huge laugh because Bill was saying, he's like, that's not what you would call that person, right? Like, he would say, like, he's a psycho or like, what a lunatic.
New Yorker thing of like
He's an
he's possessed,
asshole.
but he doesn't even like read it as that. Like, oh, what an asshole.
Oh, he's an asshole. This guy's an asshole. I loved it so much. It makes me laugh every single time. Oh, man. All right. So, do you want me to do my last one?
Sure, yeah.
Okay. So, this is my Star Wars one, and it is Paul Brook as Malakili. You may know him better as the Rancor Keeper in Return of the Jedi. And
The pathos.
yes. And in that one moment, that one brief moment that he is on screen crying that the Rancor has been killed, he gives you a backstory. He
Yes.
gives you the emotional life of
Yeah.
this keeper, that this Rancor was loved. Somebody loved this monster.
Yeah.
He loved this monster. And I don't know, is someone else saying too bad or is he saying too bad? I feel like his friend
Someone else
consoling
is like,
him.
patting his back and like trying to comfort him.
And saying like too bad, like
Yeah.
that's the line.
Yeah.
And it always like I'm always like, oh my God, this poor guy, this poor
Yeah.
baby, like he lost his
Look at what
buddy.
Luke, look what
But Luke did,
Luke
and I truly believe, and so does Bill, in the Book of Boba Fett, where we see him like have a rancor that he rides
Yeah.
around on, and we get like backstory about the rancors, and they're like they bond for life. That's what they're saying, like the Rancors
Right.
bond for life with whoever trains them. So that means like they were bonded. The Rancor Keeper and the Rancor were in a bond, like a spiritual
Right.
bond.
But it also shows, like with Mon Mothma, the performance is so strong it changes how the story.
It changes our understanding of this is just
Right.
a like a monster who cares about this monster to being like, oh my God, something's happening here. Like
Right.
if this guy loved him, apparently this Rancor was not as bad as we thought.
Yeah. I forgot about the Rancor on that. That's maybe one of the only cool things that's going on in that.
In that show, yeah.
Yeah, that's really good. What's the dude's name?
Paul Brook.
Did Paul Brook do anything else ever?
I think he did. He had some credits on IMDb. Nothing big, but yeah, he was this. He just put in some good work that day. He did some very good work.
I wonder if he ever had
I
a
wonder if
figure.
that was his choice to cry or if he was told to cry.
Yes, he did have a figure. He said actually he's had a couple of figures. Good for him. I do wonder if that was one of his choices. I don't know. That's really interesting.
Yeah, I wonder. Because, I mean, if not, if that was his choice to like be emotional, I guess why show him then, right? If they weren't going to
Yeah.
intend for him to cry, like it must have been intentional. But I love that.
That's so funny.
It completely changes our understanding of what's happening in that scene.
Malakili.
Malakili.
That's fantastic. That's so good. Let's see. I have two honorable mentions and then my last one. Although I should say none of the like I'm not giving them to you in order.
Okay.
So like these haven't been in any kind of order. My last one I don't think is the best.
Oh
No, I think it's very good, although it kind of you might argue it breaks what we're talking about because it's a lead role.
no.
So one of my honorable mentions is Burt Young in Rocky as Paulie.
Okay.
He was like a nobody. He played a lot of tough guys in movies, like people, characters with no names. And then he gets this role and he fucking just goes for it. He decides, let me just play him as fucking insane. Because really on the page, he's just written as abusive. Like he's just abusive to his maybe intellectually disabled sister. It seems like
It
she is in that first movie, and then they back off of it in the sequels.
does seem like she is, but he also seems like he is.
He's at least mentally unwell. Actually, in that first movie, they never say it, but I always got the vibe that he's like a Vietnam vet or something.
Oh,
He just
interesting.
it's weird. And he's like, his goal in life is to have the shitty job that Rocky has, which is enforcer for a gangster. He's just a piece of shit person. He's just a garbage person. But it's funny that he's like Rocky's best friend, and you know it's just because no one else will hang out with either of them. My other honorable mention is Andre the Giant in The Princess Bride.
Aw, yeah. Was that his first acting role?
I'm not sure.
I
It's
mean, he was
still a
wrestling
big one.
before. Like, I feel
Yeah.
like he was well known.
And I don't know if people remember this, but he was a bad guy wrestler.
Okay.
But
Well,
he
sure,
had,
like Hulk Hogan was the face
yeah,
and
he
he
was
was the
so
villain.
charming in this.
He
Like
was.
people think of him with like this big loving thing. And he was already at this point really sick because of his condition, which made his spine grow and he was kind of always in pain. Like at the end when he catches Buttercup, she's on wires because he literally couldn't, he didn't even have the strength to hold her up
Oh,
at that point
wow.
because he was in such physical pain.
Oh.
But he just like talk about like casting that's like basically stunt casting, but it
Yeah.
still works. You just fall in love with him. And
Yeah.
he has such chemistry with Mandy Patinkin.
Yes.
It's so good. It's so good. And he's also the kind of wrestler you don't see anymore. Like he never worked out in his life. He drank like by the barrel. Like there's stories of him like getting mad and like flipping cars over. He was just a true like monster man. He grew up in France with like this sweet family. His mother's father was like a carpenter and made him a chair growing up, and like that's his favorite chair in the world. The only chair that
Aww.
he could fit in. Here's my final one.
Okay.
And it's a okay. I'm talking about Tom Wilson in Back to the Future.
Yes, wow. But okay, I mean, I wouldn't say small role, small actor, because he has a bigger
It's
role,
a
a
huge
role that
role.
increases exponentially with every movie, right? Like,
Right.
he's,
But
and I just feel like he doesn't get enough credit for what he's doing.
no. And he's, first of all, he was nobody. He was a comedian and a performer. Before Back to the Future, he was in an episode of Knight Rider and an episode of Facts of Life. And he was in some stupid movie where he's credited as member of Spike's gang. So he was nobody. And they give him this role where he plays three roles. He plays young Biff, he
Yes.
plays adult scumbag Biff, and then he plays adult, like sniveling Biff at the
He
end.
plays more than three roles. He's doing okay,
Well, in that
so
first movie, there's only three.
oh, in the first one, yeah, I guess so.
But eventually he does a bunch. Yeah,
Oh
eventually he does more and
yeah.
more. Yeah.
He does like the Trump Biff.
Yeah, from
He's
part
got
two.
elderly Biff.
Yes.
He's got Buford Tannen in the
Yeah.
third one, and he's doing something different every time.
It's incredible. When you first meet him in the movie, Marty comes home and he's like has like the comb over and he's a scumbag and he's in Marty's kitchen and he's like takes a beer from the fridge and he's like
Yeah. He's like,
leaning
McFly,
on.
you should have told me there was a blind spot in your car.
Yeah, like
By the
he's
way,
being a
Peter is
dick.
completely obsessed with the Back to the Future series. It's his new Ghostbusters,
That's
and so
amazing.
I've been watching these films nonstop. So this is
That's
a great
amazing.
pick because I can talk about this all day long.
And then he has that loaded say hi to your mom for me.
Yeah.
It's scary and funny and you're like, who is this guy? He's nobody. He
Right.
just fucking like he really went for it. Like fuck, wow. And then as young Biff in the 50s, he's sort of scary and handsome, but also he's funny in that how stupid he is.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's just fantastic.
He's great. It's so incredible to me that he plays the same character one, two, three times, five times total over the whole series, right?
Yeah.
Because Buford Tannen is supposed to be somebody else, but five times,
Yeah.
five different versions.
Yeah.
They each retain something where they are recognizable in that they are this character, and yet he is doing something
Yes.
slightly different with every single performance. It's like, We talk about it all the time now because we've been watching this movie constantly and we're like, God, he's so good in it. He's just so good.
And I don't know why he didn't have just the biggest career ever after these,
Yeah.
because he is so fucking good.
He's great.
I mean, at the end when he's like the other version of middle-aged Biff, and he's like, "Oh, I'm just finishing up now. You're not trying to con me, are you, Biff? All that Biff, always trying to get away with something." And he's like, "Oh, like, hey,
Marty, I
Marty,
got the keys to
like
your
he's
new
such a
car. Oh,
crazy
it's so
character."
great. Yeah.
So good. Oh, so good. So good. Tom Wilson.
He's great. He was great in the hell's that cop movie, the Paul Feig.
He.
Oh, he yeah. He's
The Heat. The
great. He's
Heat.
the heat. He's the captain.
Yeah. You look great. I'm 40 years old. Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, my kids
My.
call me grandpa.
Yeah, he's so funny. He's so good in that.
He's hysterical. Yeah, I love
Supposedly, he's
him.
very conservative and religious. Maybe that's had something to do with his career.
Oh,
But
weird. Okay.
I looked around and he hasn't said anything stupid online. He keeps it to himself.
All right. Well, yeah, everyone's entitled to have
Yeah.
beliefs and opinions, and
Yeah.
as long as you don't start an illegal government agency, I'm cool with you
Yeah.
having whatever dumb
Stupid.
opinion you want to
Yeah.
have. I don't
Yeah.
care.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Oh, he's so good. Okay, yeah, I love that. He's so synonymous with the series just as much as the DeLorean or
Yeah.
Marty or Doc Brown. When so this Halloween, I think the last time I spoke about Halloween on this show a while back, I was saying that Peter was going to be a Ghostbuster for Halloween, but Back to the Future trumped it all and he ended up going as Marty McFly and
That's
Bill was
great.
Doc Brown. And we went to the zoo spooktacular. And I
That's
can't
great.
tell you how many dads in their late 30s and early 40s, when they saw Peter, would go, McFly.
That's great.
It was terrific. It was really
Fantastic.
wonderful. Yep.
That's so good. Damn. Well, this has been Actors Who Went For It. Or what's
We
the other
went for
title?
it. No small roles, only small acts or small performances, right?
Yes. Is that the saying?
It's like a thing. It, there's
Yes,
a saying. Am I
right. There's
getting
no
it?
small
I might
role.
be getting it wrong, but no, let me
Right.
see.
Because
There's
when you
no small
complain that you have a
roles.
small role, the director says there's no such thing as a small role, only small actors.
Only small actors. That's right. It is a famous quote attributed to the Russian acting theorist Konstantin Stanislavski. The Stanislavski method. All right. Meaning even a seemingly minor role can be impactful if the actor playing it delivers a strong performance, implying that the quality of the acting, not the size of the role, determines its significance.
That's
So
right.
there we go. A bit part. That's it. Every character actor in their own little sphere is the lead of their own movie.
Now, Biff, when you say, "What are you looking at, butthead?" I want you to really feel that. I want you to. This man, even though you shit on him, he's really taking the life you wanted.
That's right.
So good.
Oh man. But yeah, so that's
This was a great episode. I'm sure I'll think about more of these.
yeah. Or now whenever I see somebody who's like really doing it, I'm like, God, this would have been a good one. But
Yeah.
I feel that way about the character actors too, since we did that episode. I'm always like, oh man,
Yeah.
should have included this. Oh well.
Well, Jeanine, thank you so much for being here.
Oh, thank you for having me. I hope you're feeling better quite soon.
How do we end these?
Oh, go bye bye.